Okay, I'll just get started. Hello, my name's Jed Duff, and I'm a lecturer at the University of Notre Dame at the School of Nursing in Sydney. This is Karen Baskett from the National Prescribing Service. Karen's here just to back me up for the technical side. And I'm here really not as a LAMS expert, but just to share my experience of using LAMS for the first time this year in one of my subjects and the sort of the journey that I took with Karen's help and where we led the students to. So really just to reflect on how it can be adapted into a university subject. So I'll tell you a little bit about the challenge that I thought that LAMS has helped me with this semester, and it's in integrating the quality use of medicines, the concept, into an undergraduate nursing course. I might skip forward a slide because I'll just briefly explain now perhaps what I mean by the quality use of medicines for those that are not aware. And so this is a concept or a movement inside health that is trying to look at the appropriate use of medicines. And what we look at is, do we need a pharmaceutical agent? Which is the best pharmaceutical agent to use? And then if we're using a pharmaceutical agent, to make sure that we're using it appropriately. And so that's the concept that's been built up over the last probably 10 years. Time flies, 20 years, and is now embedded in the National Medicines Policy. So this is what I wanted to get across to the students. The reason why this is a little bit of a challenge is because really we have such a lot of content that we have to give in the pharmacology subject for nurses. You know, in everything, every lecture will tell you they've got too much work to do and too much content to give. And the problem that we have is that in pharmacology, a lot of the information that we have is very black and white. There's a lot of content information, the drug, its indications, its contraindications and adverse events. And so the students use a different type of learning strategy. They rote learn a lot of that information, and it's very black and white. And so when we had this concept that we had to chuck into the subject, integrate into the subject, it was a bit of a challenge because it didn't really fit with, A, how we were teaching in a sort of lecture mode with readings and questions, and also how we were assessing with the sort of multiple choice assessments. It's very difficult to understand this concept or assess this concept through that through those mediums. So this was the challenge. So with the National Prescribers help, with Karen's help, we used one of their modules on the quality use of medicines, and I think that is a really important part of this project or this presentation is talking about the collaboration with other organisations that that we can share resources, and LAMS really is about a community and sharing resources, and I think our example of working together is another example of that community in action. So what we came up with is that we looked at five modules. The National Prescribing Service has a series, is always developing ongoing modules in this area. What I was able to do, or what we were able to do in collaboration, were identify modules that would be the most effective for undergraduate nurses. So some of the things didn't apply or would be irrelevant to our nursing students. And what LAMS really makes it able to do is that you can have content and sequences and modify it very easily. And so, well, I learn now that we can modify it more easily. I went to the workshop yesterday, the advanced workshop yesterday, so watch out, Karen. I'm going to be... I always are. You know, we always had Karen's assistance in modifying everything so far this year. Next year, watch out. There'll be a lot of fiddling on my behalf. I've already got plans. So what we also added and what it gives us is the opportunity to add a reflection. We added a reflection at the end of each one of these modules because, again, if it's a concept, we need the students to really engage with the idea and build a conceptual idea of what the quality use of medicines is. And we had the students write their own vignette. So a lot of the way that we got across the content and the concept is by having little vignettes, little case studies that engage the students in critical thinking and reflection on how these concepts apply to practice. So we got the students to complete these case studies through the modules, but then at the end we actually got them to write a case study as part of the assessment and to respond to each other's case studies. And so what that means is it takes one level of knowledge to be able to answer a case study within a sequence, but it takes an even further understanding to actually write your own question and put that into a sequence for other users. So I think that was an important assessment that we input. And then at the end we asked them to write a brief analytical report on their reflection of the overall experience or the quality use of medicines. And so this module replaced an essay that we had previously had in the unit and didn't work very well. Very difficult, again, to write about a concept when you're just pulling it out of text and literature. So some of the tools that we used. How we did this, it was a blended approach, so I just didn't put the module up, a link to the module. We had two-hour computer tutorials for the students to first be briefed on how to use the system, and then also for me to be in the room for the next tutorial in case there are any complications or any questions. And I think that just is only fair as well, because there are different levels of technical ability in any group of students. Karen was there for us at those labs as well, and we also were able to email, and the students also had my contact details and also were able to email me. And they had a month to complete the module. I mean, some of the students were quite savvy. I mean, and they didn't turn up, you know, to the second shoot because they knew that it was under control and maybe they'd completed it, and they were able to... it gave them a bit of freedom, which they enjoyed. Yeah, we'll have a little look. I think if you've all used to putting together LAMP sequences, then probably what people want to see is what the LAMP sequence looks like.
Okay, we used the LAMP's Moodle integrated server for this particular course, so this is what it looks like. The first bit here is just a lot of information and resources that they can access to use the course. Down here we're getting into the quality use of medicines part. The first three LAMP sequences introduce QUM as a concept, and the second two here are context specific. So the first one is on the healthcare consumer as the most important part in the process, and the second one is related to healthcare practitioners and educators, because that's what nurses will be. So they're quite specific. If we look inside a module, a sequence, we call them modules because it doesn't mean anything outside of a LAMS context. Yeah, I know. Okay. Take over the world. Typically, they'll get some sort of content. Here's more. We use a lot of embedded Flash objects as well. And then they'll have to discuss it either through a forum or a question and answer tool. Oh, more content. So you can see it's well represented, 53 replies to this. And then at the end of each module, they had to write a reflection. And then a big reflection at the end of the project. So that's kind of a typical structure, but all of them look different. And down here is where they posted their vignettes. So you can see that they would post their vignette and then have to reply to three others. So they've done it very well. So that was a good indication that they had got the concepts well. Okay, that's kind of what it looks like inside, basically. Do you know how to put that back up? Yeah. Thanks. Not so technically correct.
So some of the student perceptions, and they really appreciated the opportunity, well, not initially, I mean, they appreciated the opportunity to share ideas, but actually initially it was quite confronting. This is second year students, they're already socialised into the university sort of chalk and talk or, talk and listen sort of lecture mode of delivering information. And so when I asked them, some of the LAMS sequence were actually structured so that they had discussions and forums before we gave them any content, you know, because everyone is a consumer at least of medicines, so you have some idea of the topic, and they'd already been out on prac, so they had another perspective as health professionals. But they were very challenged by the fact that I have to talk about this and put my ideas across without actually having received any content. But it sparked their ideas, and then it made them engage further with the readings. I think that was a really important way of getting them to engage with the content, because they wanted to see why they were right or wrong. Another thing about this is that there were very little right or wrongs in our entire module. It was about a concept and the journey of understanding it, and so they were very challenged by that as well, I think, initially. What I can see of other students' answers, but you know, they'll be able to copy my work. Great, fantastic, that's good. They liked the use of vignettes, and vignettes was the hot topic around campus, wasn't it? Everyone was talking about vignettes. They also liked the link to resources, so that they think that the internet is everything, and so they were fascinated that we had all of these other resources embedded in the module. They also liked the accessibility of the interface. We don't have a lot of other e-learning options at our university, and so they were very happy that they didn't have to come in for the second tutorial and that they could do it at home. And for nursing and medicine and other disciplines, that we need to become more flexible in the way we deliver our care, deliver our education. And so this is one option. And they really like the web-based format, and also they like the professional look. Students, no matter what your content is, it's been the best content in the world, but they're sort of a marketed age now. They expect everything to be slick and smooth and professional, and if it doesn't look that way, then they don't give it any. They don't invest in the material, unfortunately. So it was great that they were impressed with the work we did. Here's a student comments. One said that at the end of the modules, we did an evaluation using the Moodle's evaluation tool, quantitative and qualitative evaluation. And one of the students said that I found that being able to see other people's responses and having people reply to my vignette was a great way to link knowledge to practical situations. It also helped expand my knowledge on the extent and impact of some of these issues. So it was really an eye-opener for me to read their reflections, to see how they were engaging with each other. Unfortunately, we don't give... And it was actually made me change my teaching style in my other subjects, because when I saw how powerful the tool of discussion and interaction constructionist learning, I was just so impressed that it reminded me that even though I'm not online, in my other face-to-face teaching lessons, that I should try and bring in these tools. Just some lessons that we learnt. Strangely enough, you can't assume that students are computer savvy, even though we've got quite a young, cohort of students straight out of high school. They use the computer as a tool, and so they know the bits that they need to know, and not necessarily some of the other things that I would assume would be automatically learnt these days by younger people. It was interesting to see that students were reluctant to use their opinion and experience to answer the questions. They wanted me to have material for them to cut and paste, this is what so-and-so said. So that was a very big challenge, and it says something about university education, I'm afraid. The structure of the assessments was time-consuming, and I've learnt that we'll have to change that. Each reflection, I had to go in and of course, being a university subject, I had to have some mark at the end of it. So I will definitely rationalise the way I do the assessment. And also the collaboration it's with the NPS, and it's now sparked me to think that there are other organisations. You know, there's the Cancer Council, and there's the, you know, there's a lot of other organisations that are out there that, that really would like to help us and help shape our students. So we should become we should be using those resources. And just finally, for changes for next year. We plan to continue using it, except now after my experience at the workshop, you know, watch out, Karen, I'll have a lot of tweaking, and it'll be quite exciting, I think.
Joint project anymore.
That's right. I'll take your name off the slide. I think I'll incorporate some peer and self-assessment to try and relieve some of the assessment that I have to do. Particularly as we have some more questions and vignettes throughout the module, I don't need to read all of those. I did go through, and took me forever to go through and read those. I can get the students to read and reflect on each other's comments as they were doing as they went through. I have to have more faith in them, I think. But at the first time I used it, I wanted to go and make sure they did every little thing. So consolidate the reflections, I think. I like the idea that the students put their reflections in, and on their own screen they have their reflections and their scratch pad, you know, comments. Let them use that as evidence towards a discussion paper. Let them use their own reflections as they went through the module to create a discussion paper that then they can give me, and then that then is all consolidated into one piece of assessment. I think I'll definitely keep the face-to-face workshops because they were quite beneficial. And first bringing the students up to speed, and then you can do some other, you know, synchronous chat that adds an extra dimension to it as well. And I need to explain at the start, there was quite a lot of people that were challenged by this mode of education. People had already been socialised in, they'd done 1 year of university education, and this sort of discussion and reflection and critical thinking was a challenge to them. They just wanted, you know, content to be delivered, unfortunately. So I had to shake them out of that, and I need to make sure that that's worked in at the beginning so I don't have as many shocked faces when we start. Yeah, does anyone have any questions on our...
Well, I've got one. You mentioned embedded resources.
Lots of stuff from the NPS. So the you know, government policy, there's lots of policy on this area. We might talk.
Yeah, in a kind of an old-fashioned learning environment, it looked like a website, so you probably have a section where you had all the resources, and which is really boring to access, and you probably do your best not to. LAMS allows you to embed information exactly when they need it. So if you're talking about a topic, you can put a link right there in that tool, you know. And so they're scattered all the way through. There's also a glossary that I put up in Moodle with an A to Z of useful sites for them, I think, which is also available through, what do you call it, Delicious, so that when they don't have access to this course anymore, they still have access to those URLs. So that sort of thing is embedded all throughout the course.
So you didn't have any... Actually, I've got two questions going in.
That's okay.
The first one was, you don't have any issues with corporate policy, you can't get into Delicious, or you can't get into this, or you can't get into that, because the university IT department says they're shop not.
Yeah.
You don't seem to have any blockages at all at your university.
No, probably as time goes on, we're only, you know, a young university in Sydney, maybe they'll start putting up barriers and we'll have to negotiate that. We're, strangely enough, we had all access to everything.
The other one was the resources, just niggling at that. Would that include things like journal papers or policy statements as well? As
it would include a reference to the journal paper, not the paper.
Not the paper.
Yep. Yeah, because that allows us to give it out for free. So in the next talk I'm giving, I embed links to the AMH and the ETG, which we buy, so I can't give those sequences out.
And sometimes you can get permissions to embed papers.
Yeah.
You know the flash resource?
Yeah.
Did you develop that specifically for this course, or is it kind of an object out there that you could just...
We have a... we developed it at National... at NPS, yeah. For we had, as Jed said, a more complete course, so we just pull out bits of it according to what people want. So if we were working with a media group, we could put together a slightly different course. It's quite easy.
Yes. Just on the design point, I can come back to Dana's point as well, that where you put your design, is, if you spread your percentages, where would they be, like at the course level or the module level or the activity level?
Do you want to put a handout?
Yes, well, in fact, that's where we need in hearing the keynote speaker this morning, I was thinking, right, okay, because what I am doing, in truth, is adding this to the student's load as a module, sort of, so because it wasn't covered in any traditional course, so it's sort of been added as a module. So the students are doing this on top, which really I must, and that's only because it's more of a recent input into the curriculum, and so I do need to go back and rationalise and say where does this fit in, and how am I justifying this to the students? But I think
they're pretty happy to get out of an essay.
Well, I think that's exactly right. That was the trade-off, perhaps.
Did you tell them that at the beginning? Getting out of an essay?
It was at the start. Some of them were like, "But how will I know if it's right?" And you go, "Don't worry, just keep going." And then one or two of them went, "Oh, this is great."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Bells ticked. Yeah. But yes, that first speaker was interesting. I was thinking, oh, I feel like I am just tacking. And that was part of my initial, why I liked it. I thought, oh, yes, a way that I can get, you know, something across without impeding on the rest of the stuff I have to do. But then that really can't be the case.
Any other ones?
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yes, I think we've got a 10-minute break. According to this, we do. Is that right, Anthony? 11:50 to 12, short break. Okay, so I'm from the National Prescribing Service. That's where I work now. And our company gives out information on quality use of medicines, which Jed has just described very nicely what that's about. In that context, I work in the curriculum and training team, and one of my key projects is the National Prescribing Curriculum. Okay, which is a series of, at this stage, 18 case-based modules mirroring the decision-making process in the WHO Guide to Good Prescribing. They're used by all Australian medical schools, two nurse practitioner schools, and hopefully soon some pharmacy schools as well. The majority of learners access the modules in self-paced mode. Okay, this is meant to represent a LAMS authoring screen. So each of those boxes is the steps in the WHO Guide to Good Prescribing mapped out to a LAMS activity. And I can see a lot of similarities now that I've listened to your talk with a PBL process. So students get an introduction to the case, they get a case study and a context for where they are the prescriber, so whether it's community or hospital based. They're then asked to set therapeutic goals for their patient. They look at drug treatment, so they look at non-drug over-the-counter options as well as drug options as well. At that stage where it says drug treatment here, they're adding drugs to their personal formulary, and at that stage they might put two or three options, but only intending to use one in the end. Because when you look at the next tool, which is verify suitability, they're getting more information again on the patient. So medical history, results, do they have any allergies, that sort of thing. Okay, once they know more information about a patient, they're asked to write a prescription. They then monitor the person's treatment after they've left. So you're giving them the prescription, off they go. What sort of things do they have to look out for? And what information do they have to give to the patient? Okay, so we already have modules in an old format, so why have we spent a lot of time and effort converting them to LAMS? Originally they're intended to be used in a sort of a more blended approach, but realistically you give very busy academics and free curriculum, and they go, great, off you go and do it. So essentially everyone's doing it in a self-paced mode and they're getting no feedback whatsoever. So we had to build in a lot of extra levels of feedback. And those characters you see down the side represent our two experts. So whenever we ask them a question in LAMS, they quite often get peer feedback first, and then they will always get an expert answer as best as you can. Oh, sorry, I forgot my microphone. They'll always get an answer from an expert. The expert is the person who wrote the case, who are industry experts. We also wanted to make the learning more realistic and situated in real-life learning situations with authentic tasks. So previously, the only activities we had were multiple-choice questions, which Jed can tell you will not happen very often in on a ward, that you get a multiple-choice question quiz. There's a greater emphasis now on the prescribing process as a whole. So before it was very much about what did you prescribe, which drug. But as I've just shown you before, it's also the steps before the prescribing that are important. You might not have to prescribe at all. And also the looking after the patient after the prescribing. And there are a lot of evidence-based resources embedded at different points when they're making decisions to help them with their decision-making. Okay, how have we gone about it? The national prescribing curriculum, the emphasis is on students building up a personal formulary of about 45 to 60 preferred drugs. And in order to do this, we had to have three new tools built. So Anthony was the genius who's done this. We had a prescription tool written and a drug tool and it's not really a tool, but it's called My Formulary, which sits outside sequences. So I'll show you what that looks like. Another thing that we had built, which is absolutely brilliant, is a self-sign-in page, which has saved me enormous amounts of admin. Okay, so if I've signed in as a student called Carla, this is what it would look like. We can have a look at... Okay, so basically you're introduced to the case, you can see your learning objects and prescribing guides if you need those. I'll just do this very quickly because you're all welcome to have a free account afterwards. This is the context of where the prescriber is, the case study. We're using the voting tool to set therapeutic goals. You can choose as many as you like. So here you can see that they're going to get an idea from the rest of their peers about which things should and shouldn't be have been chosen. And then because we asked the question, here's the expert. Okay, so this represents the official answer. For every option, there's information. So there's an example of some resources that are embedded there. Sometimes they're in here as well. Yes, do you want me to? Oh. It's a link and it opens in a new page. Yeah. Okay, non-drug treatment is a question and answer tool, so I'll just. I know. Okay, and here you can see anonymous answers of everybody who's been through it so far, so that's quite useful. We made them anonymous so that they wouldn't feel too scared to talk. Oh, here's a link. There you go, pops up. Okay, so once again, here's the expert. So we asked a question, you saw your peers' answers, this is the answer, an official. I'm sure Bronwyn can tell you there's no such thing as the right answer in medicine. There's many, but it represents a model answer. Okay. This is the drug tool. So this is one of the ones that Anthony created for us. It has enormous amounts of information all over the place, so we like to tuck them up if we can. It's up to the students to choose whether they read it or not. Okay, that's a general... That's like a prescribing for this condition for dummies, if you want, if they've got 2 minutes. this is information at the drug class level. And if you're interested in choosing that drug class for this particular condition, you tick the box. I'll just tick a few. And you can see down here further reading as well. So very much up to you as a learner how much you delve into that. Then you go to preferred drugs, and it will give you a list of preferred drugs under a particular drug class. Once again, information. So that's the AMH that links off there, directly linking to that drug. At the start, it will link to the whole class and a whole condition. If you're interested, you add that drug to your personal formulary. Sorry about this. You can copy and paste this if you like, but you can't click it over. Okay. And then my formulary, you'll notice, sits up here, and that sits up there no matter which condition they're looking at. And these are the drugs that this student has added to their formulary. And they can't prescribe that drug later on if it isn't in their formulary. Okay, they're going to get more information now on the patient. So past medical history, medication history, ADRs, results and letters. And now they're going to prescribe. So this is, looks like this. I'll just put this down while I... You can't get out of this stage, you have to do it, much to the student's annoyance. So I'm adding a drug now. Those are the three that were in my formulary. Put the dose, the frequency, the times. This is an inpatient prescription. So if they're in a clinical situation, a GP surgery, they'll have a PBS prescription and the fields are different. Okay. Now you can see I've got paracetamol here. I can delete it or I can edit it again. I'm going to submit the prescription. This is what mine looks like. So I can print it if I need to hand it in to my lecturer, or I can see feedback. So this is, once again, you see she's there, so it's the official answer. So haloperidol has all this sort of information. So you're getting individual information on the medication, the dose, the time. That's all for that one. Then I can switch to this drug and I get feedback on that. And so on. Okay, so that represents like a correct or a model prescription. This stage is a general set of questions that the expert's written. Because what happened if you didn't prescribe the correct thing, but you've got the same drug but a different dose? You want to know why. So these are sort of some common questions or problems that might have occurred with that condition, prescribing in that condition. This is things that you choose whether you want to monitor or not. You get individual feedback and then more information. It's a flash object embedded, yeah. Provide information. What information should you provide to the patient and carers and others? So once again, question and answer, you see their answers. And then the official answer. So to others and to the patient. And then this is just a very quick multiple choice quiz, and it's really only meant to be a quick sum up of the activity because it doesn't hold your questions, doesn't keep your score. So you can go back and do it again. So that's a basic template. Oh, is that doing that again? Okay. Okay. So that's the basic template of what a module looks like. We did a pilot earlier this year with three universities and approximately 120 students, and the results were that they loved the added levels of feedback given in the modules. They love the case-based approach because they're completely overwhelmed with information and so on, and it makes them it kind of puts them in the situation where they're actually prescribing, and it makes the whole situation more real for them. They like the links to relevant materials. You can see that they're exactly when they need them, when they're making their decision. It's not sort of some random page of links that they have to go to. And they think it's logically presented and quite easy to follow. They did complain about the navigation, and so they're complaining that they can't go back in a sequence, they don't know how to print, they don't know where to find information. This isn't actually a problem with LAMS. It's an issue that I have because I produce curriculum and I have no contact with the students. I'm giving it to someone else to give them. So that's a sort of a challenge that we have to overcome in terms of how do we educate people to do it correctly. We've put together a series of animated tutorials to help, and just recommend that lecturers actually sit down with them and go through a sequence quickly. I think that was mentioned in the first opening address as well. Okay. LAMS is fantastic because most of you are familiar with it, you can pull it apart, okay? As an educator, a self-paced template would not be my ideal way to show that material. You can see there's so much in it. So quite easily, with very few modifications, you can make it appropriate for a blended learning environment. So one example might be to put a stop after the drug tool and come to the tutorial and discuss the issues around the drugs, which classes are there, which drugs used in combination will cause an adverse drug reaction, those sorts of things. You could take the expert feedback out of the prescription tool and make them write a prescription and hand it in as assessment. And you could also run the last three activities offline in a face-to-face environment as well. Okay, and in terms of them being relevant to other disciplines, with very few modifications, we found out that they could actually be useful for pharmacy students. So we had a face-to-face meeting with some pharmacy lecturers, and they felt that one thing that you could do is go, it's fine, all the way down to the verified suitability. And one activity they came up with was to ask the pharmacy students, what prescription do you think you're going to see? Because it would be at that point in real life that they got a prescription from a doctor. And then they could see a prescription from an expert and comment, and the last bit would probably have to be modified a little bit. So providing information to a patient is different from a pharmacist than from a doctor, obviously. But you can see that with hardly any effort at all, these are relevant to a whole different audience. And that was just another option that they came up with, whereby they would follow the whole process to the same point and get a badly written prescription, and they would have to optimise the prescription. So fix errors in dose, omissions in the prescription and that sort of thing, which is apparently something they do in real life anyway. Okay, so that's it. Any questions? Yes.
Shows you what time and everything can make LAMS do. All the things that we want to do. I wanted to first, how do you manage, so you've got some Q&A there and students are logging in by themselves and giving a go at what they think the answer is. How do you manage the numbers of answers that will eventually turn up? So, I mean, I'm not sure, is the university managing
You would have to use our server because of the copyright issues with the AMH and so on. So you would just contact me and say, I want 200 students approximately, and I'll divide them into four groups. Because it's part, you can do that in the self-sign-in screen.
Otherwise, it gets crazy over time.
Exactly. No one wants to scroll down 200 answers. Exactly. But we, interestingly, in the pilot, that was one thing we discovered. We had them in groups of 10 and 15, and we had a question in the evaluation about, you know, how did you like learning collaboratively? And they go, collaboratively? I didn't see anyone else's answers. So we were like, oh, we have to make the groups bigger because you never know when they're online together. So if you've logged in and done them, you don't see anyone's answers. So we thought 50 would be good, but no more. Not yet. Okay. Well, I don't think everyone will do it. So that's not something that people are going to make sure they answer that question. Yeah.
Just got a question. I thought the flash stuff was fantastic. But could you think that you could have done a similar thing without flash? Like just using the lab?
Yeah. I think... Okay, if you're looking at this, that would be two activities instead of one. This one's fine, isn't it? That one's fine. Non-drug treatment's fine. The drug tool is the drug tool. The verify suitability, yeah, we could have done it just as a page, for sure. It would just be less pretty, that's all. Absolutely, you can do it without it, though, I think. I would say there would be. We haven't really discussed it, but they're just so specific.
Oh.
Yeah. If you want to use the drug tool and populate it with your own thing, if that's worth your while, I'm sure that'll be fine. Yeah. It's quite some work, though. Because we were talking about giving these modules to our English counterpart, but they have different names for drugs, so they would have to set it up again. Yeah. You might maybe just like to link to... Maybe we could export our database and give it to you and then it would be fine. Okay. Yeah.
Talk, yeah. I'm just interested in how editable these things are. They are very specifically designed for you, but they are sort of setting concrete. They can be worked on and stuff.
Nobody else? Yay.
Thank you.